Welcome back, Rock Movers. This is season 6, and it is all about the boys. We've got some amazing guests, so if you're ready, let's start moving some rocks. Hey, Rock Movers, welcome back. Today, I get to return the favor and interview James Allen with Profit Your Knowledge. I was able to be on your podcast, and I'm so excited to have you on ours. So welcome to the show, James.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me, Karen. I'm excited to share some value with your audience.
Yeah, well, today's going to be awesome because it's great to have one of our strong men show up and share your story, your challenges. So as per usual, we're going to talk about the biggest rock. So please share with us what was the most impactful. So it doesn't have to be the biggest necessarily rock or challenge, obstacle that you faced, but what has been that one that has made the biggest difference for you in finding your purpose?
Oh man. Yeah. First off, I'm excited to be one of the only guys. I was listening to the podcast and I was like, you said like, this is for women. I was like, oh shoot. Okay. I got to make sure, you know,
yeah, but, no.
I'm excited to be here. And, you know, hopefully I have some sort of story that can help your audience. The biggest rock or a big rock. I guess I just had a lot of insecurity for a long time with just like me, and it affected me so many. I think everybody can kind of relate to that. Like you think about.
Absolutely.
Like high school, people are like, I don't want to talk about it, or we wish we could go back. Like I had fun in high school, but I do wish I could go back and just have the level of confidence and certainty I have now.
Right.
I would have liked
how different things would be.
Oh my gosh, it'd be insane. Like I would have done more, I would have applied myself more, mm-hmm. you know, just for the sake of like personal development and just bettering myself.
Yeah.
But for
cared less about what people thought, like
yeah,
not spent
oh my
nights
gosh.
Worried about that.
Yeah, like, yeah, literal nights and like the whole week. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't say this because it's going to hurt someone's feelings. It's like, if only I knew that that's something that they have to deal with, not me, but I let it dictate my results and like my actions and everything. And the first book I read about this stuff was The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz.
Love
and
that.
I was 17 when I read that book. Thankfully,
wow,
I read
it. Start.
Right. Yeah. And it was just crazy. Like I literally, when I read it, so it's a funny story. My mom was like, you should read this book, The Four Agreements. Cause she knew I was just kind of like, I would kind of talk with her about like, I don't know. And she would love personal development. So she was like, read this book. And I was like, no, mom, I'm too cool for that. I've been looking up like on Google how to do this stuff and none of it works. It was like, it's a bunch of BS. And then I come home from school once. And she just like put the book on my bed. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, I'll check this book out. So I open it up. When you open up the first like flap, it has like a abbreviation of the four agreements, just like really short, condensed. And the one that stood out to me was don't take anything personally. I'm like, I could think of so many times in my life where I do that. I'm like, that's something I'm interested in. And then I started reading it and I just gave it a chance. And the next thing I know, my nose is buried in that book for like literal months on end, probably like
it's
a solid year of reading it. Like literally I'd finish it and I'd go read it again. And I don't know why. It resonated with me at such a young age. Cause as I'm reading it, I could see like how situations with my friends and like all this, I'm like, oh man, if I practice this stuff, like it could really help me, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I just got buried in the book. And that was kind of like my first opening to personal development as a whole. And now it's like my business, you know, is personal development related. But yeah, I think that was like the biggest thing was that just insecurity and learning how to manage it. And it was crazy too, because people would like, you know, when I started coaching, I was a spiritual life coach, but I was literally the 22-year-old spiritual life coach. And it's that whole thing of like, what do you know about life? I know more than you. Meanwhile, these people who are like in their 40s, you know, double my age, they're still taking everything personally. They're still making all these crazy assumptions. They're not being impeccable with their word. They're not doing their best because they're making too many assumptions or beating themselves up and they don't have the mental tools. So it's like, that's what I know. And I've been able to do for myself because I'm literally more confident than I've ever been in my life. So yeah, I think that that's been like so big for me is just learn how to overcome that stuff.
I love that. And I love that that was one of your first books. Like that was a book I didn't even know about until way into my personal development. So now that you've shared that, I think I'm going to give that to my son. I have a 18-year-old and I think that would be so good. He's an empath. He keeps fighting me on that, but he's such an empath. I think he's going to end up in coaching or psychology or something. Cause he loves it. He loves the human behavior and
he would love that book. I will say
he's such a tender heart.
If he really likes it, I'd recommend for you, if I was going to throw a book recommendation to read, but also recommend to him is the fifth agreement. So the four agreements is like the beginning introduction mm-hmm. training. And that's the one that mm-hmm. blew up. Most right. people don't know that there's the fifth agreement too, which is cool because in that book, he actually goes over the four agreements again. And mm-hmm. then he introduces the fifth agreement.
So, I didn't even know there was a fifth agreement. So yeah,
exactly. That book, I want to read that book. I don't have, I have like two or three copies of the four agreements on my shelf, but that book I do not.
Okay. Yeah. I knew that his son had started writing and kind of took over the family business. But yeah, I didn't know about the fifth agreement. So I'm going to have to go look up. Didn't even know that existed.
Yeah. Yeah. So, he actually has a couple sons and I went to a retreat with my mom years ago, but it was mm-hmm. in Sedona, Arizona.
Yeah. Oh wow!
And yeah, at this like
with Don
really
Miguel,
cool,
or
yeah, Don Miguel was there, and like a bunch of these big spiritual teachers. But it was so cool because it was like so laid back and low key that mm-hmm. they were just like walking around, and you could walk up. Like Don Miguel would just be like walking around, or he'd be doing a speech, and they'd just be hanging out, and you could just like go on a hike and run into him and just chat with him. It was so cool.
Like you didn't know you were in like, I don't want to call him Gandhi, but I mean he's a pretty instrumental person in
huge.
Personal development yeah. and just the spiritual enlightenment, I guess, side of personal development. So
yeah,
pretty cool. Pretty cool. That's amazing. So, okay. So you've, as a child, you moved this rock and or young adult, I guess, you've moved this rock of insecurity and kind of the burden of carrying other people's opinions. Mm-hmm. What has that done for you now? And obviously you're in personal development, you do some business marketing, but how has that changed things for you? And, you know, I talk about the rocks that we put in our bags. And so these rocks are the things that at the time we feel like are happening to us. And then when we move the heaviness of it out and kind of heal through that, we get to see that there's actually something that happened for us and we get to carry that as a lesson from the rock. So that's kind of my analogy of the rock movers. What are your lessons and how are you using those to help others? Because that's really what about being a rock mover is.
Yeah. And I love the analogy too. It's, I mean, it's transformed my life in a lot of ways. And I'm not saying that I'm rockless, we'll say.
Yeah. Like, no, we never get rockless. Let's just clarify. Right. Nobody's yeah. rockless. We just learn and are aware of the rocks and get to move them quicker.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, I remember when I was really practicing and I didn't just like read the book, like I submerged myself in that material mm-hmm. and anything else I can get my hands on that was similar to it as I got yeah. more into personal development. And I remember I used to have like a whole week where I was like depressed. I was insecure. I was just like, I don't want to do anything, you know? And it was a lot of this comes from my childhood, which I'm happy to unpack, you know, because that's a whole nother story. But yeah, it was basically just like a whole week plus of being upset, on edge, anxious, depressed. And then I'd have a really good day. And I was like, wow, that was so much fun. Like, I didn't care what people thought. I'd like sing my car and like, you know, sing in my car and people could look at me and I didn't care. Like weird stuff like that. Like anything to get out of my comfort zone. But uh-huh. then I'd go back to like having a whole nother week of upset, depressed, like that kind of stuff. And then it became like a week where I was really just light and I felt a lot better. And then I'd have a couple of days where I felt a little off, and then I'd have, you know, another week, and then I'd have like one day. And then it turned into most of the time I was pretty just happy, and like, not say I'm happy all the time or anything, but I was just, I didn't care what people thought. And I just saw that, like, with the tools that I had developed, that if they are mad at me for whatever reason, or envious or jealous or anything like that, it's something that's happening inside of them and has nothing to do with me nine times out of 10, unless I happen to do something. But like, I make a point to do my best not to do those things that cause those things, because every action has a reaction, you know?
Yes.
And and then it just became like moments where I would feel a little down, or I doubt myself, and then I would shift out of it. And just because I had built those tools, I was able to get out of it or drop the rock way faster and just be like, in the grand scheme of things, like, it's not a big deal. Really? Yeah. Like, this is not a big deal. But it's just crazy how we latch on to stuff. And I think it really comes down to just unhealed parts of ourselves.
100%. I totally agree.
We lash out on ourselves. And that's like, I think, a really cool analogy or example that Don Miguel shares about in the Four Agreements. Maybe it was in the Fifth Agreement. I don't know. I think it was in the Four Agreements. But he talks about how human beings are the only creatures who will suffer for one mistake 1,000 times. An animal, there's this funny video, kind of on topic, but this penguin is like walking down the slide and everybody's filming the penguin, and then the penguin just like slips last minute and just eats crap into the water. It's so funny, and everybody's laughing, and the joke is like, I would never recover from this, like, if that happened to me. And that's such a prime example, because the penguin just fell, and I guarantee the penguin's like, whatever, like, I fell, shoot. But he's not embarrassed, he's just like, life goes on, you know. And that's how animals act. But if that happened to us as humans in front of all those people, we'd fall, smack our hip on the slide, fall in the water. And it's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be thinking about this for the rest of my life, and thinking about how everybody's judging me. It's like, you're literally just judging yourself that whole time. And that's just such a prime example.
I love the simplification of like the animal kingdom in retrospect, or in comparison. Because it's so true. They don't lament over it. And we do for so long. You know, for example, I've talked to several people and coach people on this, like, something will have happened to someone in their adolescent, or usually it's like 10 to 13. Somebody says something, or they make a comment about, you know, a body feature or something about them. And they will hold on to that well into their 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
And I just had this reunion with an old friend, and she remembered one of my friends. She and I grew up together and have remained friends since we were 5. And she remembered one of my friends making a comment, because she is biracial. And she remembers my friend saying something about her being a half-breed. And she carried that comment with her entire life. And I'm sure the person that said that probably never thought twice about it.
Right.
Yet it impacted her whole life, from the time she was like 8 on. And it was so impactful, because she and I both have we're both adopted. So we both have that as a common bond. And she didn't know her family. She didn't know her background, but it was obvious that she was, you know, biracial. And so it was so hurtful for her, because it's like, I don't have anything to stand on as an adoptee. And she didn't know what a half-breed was. And so when she asked her mom, her adopted mom, and she found out what it meant, because back then we didn't have Google. This is back in the 70s. You know, it just hit her so deeply. And like, it just, impacted her. And I'm just like thinking how careless, yet how silly at the same time, that as humans, that's what we do. Because I've had those type of things. You know, somebody made a comment about my nose one time. Actually happens to be the same person that made the comment about her being half-breed. And I was always self-conscious about that. Always, from the time I was 12 till today. Still think about it. So isn't that crazy, though? If I was a penguin, yeah. I would have just been like, meh, whatever. Shake it off.
Right.
Like, that's just, oh my gosh, how crazy that we do that to ourselves and to each other.
Yeah. So moral of the story, just be a penguin, I guess. But
yeah. What would penguins do? WWPD. Right?
But yeah, I think that's crazy. And like you said, they probably didn't think twice about it because they're in such a cycle of just spitting out those things. Same person said to you something that bothered you to another person, and to them, they're just like, oh, I'm just going through life. Like, this is how I manage life. This is how I get through it. That's like the really big, super giant muscle head who just gets through life, just pushing people around. Like, that's how he's learned to get around life.
Right. And chances are that's how he's been modeled or taught, or, you know, he saw that from someone else.
Or out of defense, and even could be. Yes. Like, who knows? Yeah. There's a lot of things. And I think that it's just up to us. Like, as you were saying that, I'm thinking to myself, like, how do you actually process that? You know, because to me, it's become a lot more second nature. And I think it comes down to just developing the right kind of tools inside of your little spiritual tool belt. Like, one of the biggest ones is forgiveness. I think we can all think of something where we feel so much like shame or regret towards how we acted or didn't act in a certain situation. And I can think about a couple off the top of my head, and I can even feel it right now where I feel like, why didn't I do something? Or why did I do that? You know, and I can feel the same emotions as I did back then. And that's just how powerful our mind is.
Right.
And that'll weigh us down. So practicing forgiveness is one of the greatest keys that we can, it's one of the greatest, I guess, tools that we can introduce and practice. And it's not easy by any means, but it's looking at the situation. It's like, if there was literally nothing you can do, why do you keep suffering and say, I should have done this? You can't do it. Like, you can't go back. You couldn't have, what happened happened. And that's just, it is what it is. So you can either live with it or forgive by letting go of that and say that, or that's who I used to be. You know, if it's something that you did that you regret, like, I think we all have some form of regret because we're learning, we're humans. But I look back on things and I'm like, well, yeah, I'm a totally different person now. If I was the same person, I guess I would feel that like worse, you know, or like, I don't know, I guess I could beat myself up right now, but there's no proof that shows that today I'm that same person. So I forgive myself.
Yeah. If so, I believe regret and unforgiveness are like little doses of poison that we self-prescribe every day. And when we do that, you know, we're causing ourselves to be sick or ill or just, you know, causing harm to ourselves, when oftentimes if it's the person who needs to be forgiven, you can't reach or you can't talk to, or they will never ask for forgiveness. We're holding out for that when that will never most likely come. So being able to forgive someone that doesn't ask for forgiveness is probably one of the greatest skills that we can learn. And, ooh, hit my microphone. And also just that self-forgiveness piece, right? Knowing that in that situation, most likely you did do the best that you could do, and being able to forgive yourself for not knowing better or not doing better when you did know. So, huge insights. And man, we went deep really quick, James. Like, wow. Thank you.
I have a tendency to do that, I guess.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I mean, you kept it light with the penguin thing, but that was good. So in this world and what you've learned and what you're doing now, what do you feel like is your greatest lesson and gift that you now share with others? because you dropped some really good insights, but what else is there? Because I know there's more.
Yeah, I mean, there's always more. We could literally talk about this stuff for hours, but
it's a rabbit hole.
Yeah, it really is. It's just fascinating, like human behavior. Mm-hmm. I just think the whole thing that we talked about there is fascinating, about how we can think of something negative or positive and literally feel the emotions of it.
Mm.
And you're in control of the thoughts that are passing through. So why not put those towards a vision that you have for the future, or like what you can improve on? And it's like, instead of putting all the energy into beating myself up for how I did or did not act in a past situation as a child, it's like, I can learn from that, which I think is important. Mm. But then put my energy into, like, if that situation ever showed up again, what could I do different? And then when the if and when the situation arises, like, that's where courage comes in, which is you being scared but doing it anyway.
So let me ask you something, because I love that you shared that, but, and I have my own perspective or thought on this, but why do you think, as humans who are wounded and we become aware that that's a trigger, that's a response that we have, or that's something that's causing harm, why do we choose to continue to go back there? Or why do we continue to have those thoughts, those feelings, those emotions, and not release and move through that? So why do we self-sabotage and continue to stay in the muck?
I think that we believe it to an extent, even if you tell yourself that you don't, but you're reacting mm-hmm. to it. It's because you believe it. If somebody makes fun of your nose and you take it personally, it's because you agree with what they said. That's as simple as it is. But if you're like, I like my nose, like if someone made fun of my nose, I mean, no one ever has, but if somebody did, I would be like, I love my nose. You know, I'd like, okay. Like I would just like kind of laugh about it because I think I have a very nice nose. But I think that a part of that too is like, you believe it because you haven't put in enough time into appreciating you for who you are. I think everybody can have like a body, you know, something about their body. Like, oh, I wish I wasn't.
Body dysmorphia.
Everybody has it in some way, you know? Yeah. I don't like my hair. Even beautiful people, which bothers the hell out of me. Of like, oh, it's this. Right? You're like,
those
you
are people
phenomenal.
You're like, shut up. Yeah. You're just
you're
shut
like
up.
Freaking gorgeous. What are you talking about? Yeah. But I think that. And then there's other people who, like, you know, they can have like a big nose or funny toes or weird thumbs. Like Megan Fox is a great example. Have you ever seen her thumbs? You ever heard of that? Yeah. So that's like, everybody found out about that and everyone's freaking out. Like, oh my gosh, she's so beautiful, but she has these weird thumbs. Like, she's beautiful and she has interesting thumbs, or like different thumbs. It's not that, but she has. And I'm sure that she was super insecure about that for so long. I don't know if she still is. I've never met her. But like, I don't know, if you have something like that, you just, I think it's your ability to find beauty and joy in everything that you are, and just acceptance with yourself. Because if I don't believe, if I don't agree with the thing that you're telling me, it's not true for me. And there's a great saying I heard from a mentor. It says, what you believe to be true is true for you. So if you think 100%. It's true that that your nose is messed up or whatever, and somebody says you have a funny nose, or even hints at the fact that you might have a funny nose, and you feel tormented by that, it's because you believe it to an extent. But if you are like, I like my nose, like, I don't care. Yeah. So it's really that ability to put more belief in you and like capabilities too. You know, it's like somebody tells you that, I'll think of a great example is Sylvester Stallone. If you've never read his story, like, amazing. Him or Arnold Schwarzenegger, both amazing individuals who've achieved so much success. Sylvester Stallone is not very tall. He's like 5-something, you know, I think I forgot how tall he is. I'm kind of curious, but
he's like 5'9", right?
Is he 5'9"? I thought he was smaller than that. I don't know, but he's not like a super big individual, but he always plays like the big action star, you know, so people think that he's like larger than life. But also his face is very unique. I mean, I think he's a handsome dude, but he was literally told when he was trying to get Rocky out to the world that you're not fit to
be 5'10".
Oh, that's not that small. I don't know why people said he was like super tiny, but anyway, And people were like, he's like 5'2" or something. I remember someone saying something like that. No, 5'10" is not bad. But he, yeah. Anyway, people would literally tell him that he
Oh, wait, was, no, he's down to 5'9 and a half now.
Okay, 5'9 and a half. That half inch, you know. But he,
that half inch.
he was basically like ridiculed for the way he looked and that he would never be successful because of the way he looked. Same with Arnold Schwarzenegger, mm-hmm. going from bodybuilding, getting into the movie scene. And then what happens? He becomes Terminator, the best person for him. And then that kickstarted his whole career. But like, they didn't care because they had a bigger mission for themselves. And they were just like, whatever, you know, call me what you will. I believe in this and I think I can do it. So they, I'm sure they, you know, they've gone through many ups and downs with all that stuff, but I just think that's a prime example. And we have to just really, yeah, accept us for who we are, what we are, no matter how we look. And I think, you know, part of it too, in the end is like, we're all going to die. Is it really worth, like, I remember now I'm saying it. I remember when I was like working through and processing all this stuff, I just mm-hmm. realized that I don't like feeling this way. I don't like feeling so insecure, like under people's thumbs without them doing anything. It's just like, you know, it's annoying and it doesn't feel good. It's not fun. And I want to feel light and I want to be loving to people and be a joy to be around and like encourage people and help them grow and that kind of stuff. So I decided to put my energy into that and it served me well. But yeah, I think that that's a big thing is if you're really crushed by it, maybe you think to yourself, like, well, what is it about that that I do believe? Do I believe mm-hmm. that? And like, just be real with yourself. Don't say, no, I don't. Affirmations, if I say it enough, it'll change. Like, not necessarily. So yeah. It's important to like do the digging and think like, well, yeah, you know, because I do have doubts towards that. And how can you look at it from a better perspective or more positive light?
Yeah, I think it's when those things happen at such a young and influential part of our life, when those moments happen, because you're learning how to see the world. You're learning how to identify your value and describe your value and what your value even is. And so when those things happen and you have to question and it's from someone you trust, I think that's when these wrong ideas or wrong beliefs or limiting beliefs become so much larger than they could be because they get rooted in really early, really deep. And if you're not given the resources or the tools to manage it young, then you're just kind of figuring it out. And it's like, should I think that? Do I think that? I don't know. I guess I trust them. So maybe it is true. But it's that process of coming to your own decision, like James just said, when we get to align it with what do I believe now? So all of that can be true from the past. All of that was true to me. And I don't believe that now. So we get to kind of draw a line in the sand and say, yes, that is. And so is this. And I get to just embrace this going forward and let that go. Has that been true for you? Like you made a decision. That doesn't feel good. So I'm drawing a line and I'm just going to be this going forward. I'm only going to allow this and accept this. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of what you went through?
Yeah. Cause I think like, it's funny because we always want like a quick fix with everything. Oh, I want this quick fix in my business. I just want to start making money super fast. Mm. Sure. There's faster ways that you can make money with certain things, you know? But people want like this, the most ideal situation, the fastest way possible, you know,
right.
And they want that with everything because instant gratification and it's like social media. There's all these different influences with that. Mm-hmm. But in the end of the day, like I got to where I'm at today and continue to go in terms of like confidence and, you know, loving myself and stuff because I put in years and years of every single day thinking about it, working at it, practicing. And I think you just have to be patient with yourself and, you know, I would put myself in situations where I did have to challenge like these tools that I was learning. And it's like with business or anything else, we have to learn and try. So you learn things like you learn new tools of like not taking things personally. And then you have to go try it. And you have to be in situations where you actually have to practice that. I love the thing where it's a little saying or example, but it's like you pray to God for patience in your life and situation. And then you get every single stoplight. You get like a car wreck in front of you. You get stuck in traffic. You get all this stuff. And then you're like, oh, I'm so mad. But God is like giving you practice. Because that's how you build patience. It's through practice, you know? So it's the same thing. If you're insecure about your nose, like go do a modeling shoot. Go do something like so insane. You're like, that is crazy. And what happens? You survive from it and you're okay. You know, like if you have a weird belly button, go do like a bikini competition or a bodybuilding competition. And I know that sounds so scary and like, oh my gosh, who would do that? But like, maybe you don't have to go that extreme, but like, it could be if you think you have a weird belly button, like go out onto a beach and wear the bikini or if you're a guy, take your shirt off, you know, just like, just chill and just see what happens. And like, nothing's going to happen. That's the funny part, but we make up all these stories. Yeah,
we do. Yeah. One of my friends, and she was on the podcast. She's, an amazing transformational speaker now because of what she went through. She was in a motorcycle accident and it really damaged one of her legs. And she was like so ashamed of the leg or just felt like it was, you know, just really awful and ugly. And she had this thing in her mind because she was from the fitness industry and she really was thinking her fitness career was over. And that nobody would want to touch it. And the surgeon who did all the work on it, like 30 surgeries. I mean, it was just incredible how he saved the leg when they really thought she was going to lose it. He was inspecting it one of the times she went into the hospital or went to the doctor for follow-up. And he was looking at it like it was a piece of art. Like it was just, you know, this beautiful work of art that he had crafted, because to him it was. And she was like, you know, why are you looking at it like that? Or how, you know, how could you look at it like that and touch it? And he goes, this is a miracle. And she said she never looked at her leg the same again. And now she wears short mini skirts and like short shorts and shows off her leg. She'll wear like combat boots and these funky shorts and goes on stages with this, you know, really scarred up leg for many reasons, but because that is her story of victory. And she has never looked back and now sees it as that is her, like her calling card for people to know her. It shows her grit. It shows her resilience. It shows everything that she's gone through to become this person who she is today. And so she sees it as beauty.
But that's awesome.
That was like transformational to her because, I mean, it's startling how much damage was done to her leg. She literally almost lost it. So, and she's like one of the toughest women I know. She's amazing. Her name is Amberly Lago. She needs to be on your podcast, but
yeah, I was going to say, let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah. You need to connect with her, but yeah, I love your story because that really is the rock moving philosophy in such a simplified understanding. And I'm sitting with this and it's like so profound yet so simple. And I love that you made it that way. So, okay, we are like coming close to the end of the show. What else do you feel like people should know about you, about what you do, about how to connect with you? Like this is your time to really share kind of some final words. I'm going to give you the mic and it's all yours, sir.
Yeah. Just to that point, I mean, yeah, that was an incredible story about the leg, you know, and it just got me thinking about if you have a nose that you don't necessarily have always liked, but now you're going to start liking, or, you know, if you're overweight or whatever, if you think about anybody who has something that's not like the image of perfection that we've been taught growing up and they're just confident about it, you're like, I don't care. you're confident and that's cool. So yeah. I just think that that's like confidence is power. And it's something that when you develop it and you get, make it a habit, no one can take that away from you. And I think that that's such a cool thing. What do I do? Nowadays I have a business called Profit Your Knowledge, and I help people take what they know, what they're knowledgeable at or have expertise in or skills, and turn that into online businesses that can run whether they're working or not. I was a productivity coach after being a spiritual life coach. When I first started my coaching journey, I've gone through confidence coaching, like all this stuff. So this is fun because I always talk about marketing and stuff. And now I get to talk about the other things, which is really cool. And just kind of more of like the mindset stuff, which I think is so critical. And I was a productivity coach, and that's where I learned about like online courses and making passive income. And I was like, oh, isn't that the dream? So I tried, I built like five or six courses and funnels that didn't make me any money. And then I finally woke up to, I made another program again, and this one actually sold for me. So I woke up and I was made like $200 in my sleep, never met the person in my life. So it was just from like YouTube content and a couple of emails and a simple page. And I sold, someone gave me a couple $100. And then it happened again, made like $300. And then again and again, and then I was paying my rent every month, just passive income. And that's what allowed me to like go to Sweden, and I made like $8,000 in 2 weeks going out to Sweden. Or I went to Florida and was making money on that trip. And I get to help other people kind of like build products or coach people or get on stages and that kind of stuff. And not so much the stages, but I think it's a good way to market yourself. So anyway, everything is a Profit Your Knowledge. And that's what I show up every single week and day pretty much to help people do. And it's awesome. So if you want to learn more, you can always just go to profityourknowledge.com or just Google Profit Your Knowledge. You'll see my podcast where Karen was on, and my YouTube channel is a wealth of resources for people there. So that can kind of get you into my world and get going.
Yeah, such a great resource, the website and the podcast. And I love that you have had this evolution, because if you just started out teaching the Profit Your Knowledge, I don't think it would be as richly helpful, right? Because you have all of this other insight. And I think that's the true evolution of us doing the journey. Because if you just bit the silver bullet and went straight to the Profit Your Knowledge, I don't think you wouldn't be the same person without the journey. So I think it makes you better at what you do because of all of the things that you've learned. So I love it. I love it. I love it. So yeah, if you are looking for ways to promote yourself, or you have something that you're doing that you want to monetize, systematize, absolutely connect with James. Great resource. Highly recommend. Also check out his website, his podcast. He asks great questions. So I hope I did you a service by having you here and asking as good of questions, or maybe half as good. You do a great job on your podcast. So
thank
you.
It was
really good having you here. It was good having you here. And I know that our community will get something really, like, they're going to hear what they need to hear today, because this, although it went a little bit deep, we simplified it in such a beautiful way. So thank you for that. And just the reminders that whatever has happened, we have a choice in how we allow it to impact us going forward. And definitely going to check out the resource of the fifth. I just went blank now.
Fifth agreement.
Fifth agreement. Sorry. I was going to say fifth choice. I'm like, that is not it. It's the four. And then I went blank on agreement. So
no worries.
I lost it all.
Awesome.
But yeah, thank you so much for being here, for sharing what you do, for helping people move their rocks, and for being a part of our community too. Really appreciate you, James.
Thanks, Aaron.
Wow. Wasn't today's guest amazing? I hope that you enjoyed them as much as I did. And I hope that you got something super valuable. And I also want to know, what are you getting from this? What would you like to see? What are future episodes? Who do we need to be talking to? Who has some amazing rocks that they want to share? And that's by sharing, commenting, and subscribing to the Rock Movers, and then following me over on social media. We want to stay connected. We want to be a part of your world, and I want to invite you to be a part of mine. If you'd like to book a call, go a little bit deeper into some of these topics, you can find a link to book that call on CoachKarenGray.com. You're always invited to join me there, and I can't wait to dive into deeper conversations with you. That's my way of giving back and saying thank you for being a part of our Rock Moving community. Until the next episode, or until we jump on the call, have a great day and keep moving those rocks.